Okay, next one. Any scripts or audios you've posted that you've been particularly proud of?
Yes. Okay. Among my scripts, the porn shop girl is probably the favorite, my favorite script that I've written. There, what's the other one? The other one is The Love of Cats, which I think Playful Little One did that one. She's the only one who did. It's a little weird, but it was the first time that I tried to write something that was sort of emotional and not sort of just standard fetish material. The Porn Shop Girl, if you haven't heard it, is a guy talking about a relationship that he was in, and it's somewhat emotional, and it takes a turn at the end that you don't necessarily expect, and it impacted a lot of people. There were a lot of people who had very positive reactions to it, and it got to, I don't know, like three or four people did it. You can always tell if people like something because they you
It
know you
just
get a lot of people who record it.
mm.
And for a script that was as serious as it was, you got like three or four guys who did it. The Love of Cats is about a is about I guess a, I when I wrote it from a female for female perspective, but I guess it could be a male for female perspective. It's about a person who's recounting a relationship that they had that sort of went bad, but in a sort of a I don't know, I don't want to spoil it if people go look for it, but it goes bad in a sort of a supernatural way. But the supernatural is it also deals with like human nature and people being willing to deal with things that come up in their lives. And I'm proud of that one because, as I said, it was one of the first serious sort of treatments that I'd ever written. Yeah.
Interesting. Very interesting.
Also, the Deadpool one,
We need
which I
to
think is funny. Yes, we do need to do that
do.
one.
Well, actually, yeah, going back to that question, you did mention your scripts, but were there any audio that you've done that you feel particularly proud of?
Well, there are a couple that really are my favorites. There's a couple audio horrors that I'm very fond of. Definitely one that I love that's not an audio horror is last year there was a bit of a blow up when I did a request for interracial stuff,
Yes,
and
I remember that.
I probably was not, I didn't phrase things as clearly as I could, and then there were all people worried about all this racial tension and stuff. Yeah, regardless, as one of the ways that I handle stuff like that is I sort of make fun of it. And so I did a recording where I did three voices all in the same recording. There were two aliens and me, who had the aliens had abducted me, and the one alien is unhappy because he looks at me and says, "This isn't the type of human that you normally abduct for me," because normally they would abduct from Japan. And so then the second alien is like, "Well, you have to do something with him because if you don't, it's racist." And so they have this discussion about what racism is, and at the end, I finally, I'm there, it's me, my voice, and I'm laying on the table going, "Okay, can I have a say in this? I don't really think I need to be raped here." And the alien goes, "No, I'm going to rape you. I'm going to use my tentacles on you because I'm not a racist."
Oh,
Yeah,
I
and
need
I'm
to.
really fond of that one because it's just off the wall humor that it's just, and I did three voices in it. Now I did overlay my voice over it because and to make it more effective, but to the two voices I was going back and forth and I did it all in one take. Another one that I'm rather fond of is let me think here. Now I lost my train of thought. Well, there's the Fear Play King, which I think I was very clever on. The Rainmaker. It was part of, it was for a contest, and I think it was the first time that I did a really serious character. And I made it into a soundscape. So it's, you know, you can hear, you know, bugs chirping in the background, and it sounds like a hot day. And, you know, it's a farmer with his wife, and they're talking about how they're going to lose the farm because it hasn't rained. And, then he starts talking about some Indian ritual that he heard about when he was a kid, and they decide to go out into the farmer field and they make love. And then it starts to rain, and it's just sweet, and the effect of the sound effects that I added really work for me. So that's easily one of my favorites as far as the serious recordings. And then if I had to pick one more, probably there is. There is the recording that I did was a Harry Potter spoof, where I'm a kid at a Hogwarts sister school in America because I was too nervous to try my English accent, which is probably awful. So I did this recording with a teacher voice. Which I can try to do for you here. Okay, ready? Mr. Pritchard, how dare you sneak into my room and open my cupboard?
Oh my God. Professor really Slimbell, loud. That's right.
Yeah, that's Professor Slimbell. So, and of course, he's really loud.
Sorry, so, I just wasn't expecting him to pop up.
Yes, so that was the professor. So anyway, Mr. Pritchard is forced to clean the room, the classroom, after the class, and he sees that the professor left his office door open, so he sneaks in and he opens his cupboard, and there's a Boggart inside. But it's not the type of Boggart that has, causes fear that you're afraid of. It's a sex Boggart.
Oh God!
So there's all these transformations where it becomes these different things until it becomes this like tentacle monster that's going to eat him. And it was also a collab with Sexually Specific, who generously added her giggles to the recording. But I'm really fond of that one because I just feel like it was a very sort of clever and fun approach to bringing sex into the Harry Potter universe.
You're not the only one who's tried.
Yeah, I know.
Okay, next question. Batman or Superman?
I'm Batman.
That was shit.
I'm Batman.
I'm the goddamn Batman. Where is he?
Yep, I'm definitely much more of a fan of Batman than Superman. I always felt Superman was sort of he had no character, especially if you watch the Silver Age cartoons and then always rescuing Lois Lane from some calamity or some other that she got herself into because she was just too tenacious and I just felt like he didn't have much character. Things like Smallville and that have helped create a character, a Superman with character, but he just always was just this like
blank slate,
goody two shoes guy, and that's great too, but Batman always was a lot more fun because he was, he was this dark hero who had this dark past that, and becoming this vigilante was the way that he was dealing with his grief and the negative things of society. But I'm not a comic guy. I never was. And being growing up overseas, the only comics I really ever had access to were Archie. Yeah. So I know more about Archie and Betty and Veronica than I do about
Batman and Superman and Spider-Man.
Oh, man. I had such a crush on Betty.
Oh, you go.
Yep, I will admit that I have actually gone on Rule 34 once or twice looking for some Betty and Veronica.
Did you find anything?
Oh, yeah, there's a little bit.
Of course there is. The rule is absolute, after all.
Yeah, that's true.
Next question is, do you have a pre-recording ritual, something you do to get you in the right headspace for an audio or just to record?
Sometimes I'll look at porn beforehand. Hmm. I don't, you know, it depends on my mood. I've found it harder and harder these days to get into the audio recording side. I don't know why that is. I think I'm just moving away from the recording stuff.
Yeah.
I'm probably not going to be recording very much moving forward.
Mm-hmm.
But another thing is, especially when I'm doing voices, I generally will sit for a few minutes and just do the voices.
Yeah, postulate so in the voice.
Yeah, so that's, you know, that's like before when I was saying, oh, I got to get into the voice, you know. I actually have to, like, if I'm going to do the Fear Play King or whatever, I have to sit there and be like, I am the Fear Play King, you know, a couple times.
I must warm up into this.
I always envisioned the Fear Play King was some washed-up Shakespearean actor.
Mm, and I think what I just did there was his distant sister.
Yeah.
Gunplay Queen?
Is like, the Fear Play King is like it's like an English accent, but but you're doing it on the stage, and it's not a good English accent.
No. I'm clearly from... No, that's not even Scottish. What am I doing? I'm going to be quiet right now. Okay, next one. Has becoming an active member of GWA affected your real life in any way? And if so, how? Positive or negative?
Yeah, I would say a little bit. It's made me a little bit more... It's got me in touch with my sexy side a little bit.
Mm.
So, off of GWA, I have been a little bit more adventurous, mm-hmm. and a little bit more capable of being sort of sexy. I mean, it made me realize that my voice can be sexy, you know? So, I'm like, oh, I can be sexy. Well, why don't I just try? Yeah, so that's how it's impacted it. It's given me confidence. Also, I would say one of the big things that I've gotten from Gone Wild Audio is just a sense of confidence from being myself and just trying new things. You know, like just writing and just doing things that I haven't done before. You know, because you just discover, hey, you know, this seems scary, but good things could come. And if it doesn't, well, you just try something else. But also, I found that with my script writing, it's given me drive to write again. This is something I've always wanted to do. I'm not a professional writer. I know that probably surprises some people. They're like, oh, this stuff is so good. How can you not be professional writing? I've never had the confidence to. And I also have a problem where just writing consistently. So that's one of the reasons that I did that script thing, which I sort of failed at because I got writer's block. And then I got really busy in my personal life, and it was just too difficult to sit down for the time needed to write. But, you know, I wrote 16 or 17 scripts over a month period. You know, I'm looking like this, and I'm thinking, if you would have had me 5 years ago, there's no way I could have done this, you know, this amount of writing in that amount of time. I just wouldn't have been able to do it.
Yeah, it's and a pretty
gone. Yeah, Gone Wild Audio is the one who is the reason that I've been able to do that. So that's a valuable thing for me as well.
It's a very valiant effort. I think we can all agree on that.
Yeah, well, and people have enjoyed reading the scripts. So I'm hoping to pick it up again. I don't know. It might be a couple weeks because things have been really busy. But yeah. Pick it up again and do the remaining 15 scripts and get those done.
Yeah.
Yeah, maybe do them in a 15-day stretch and just get them finished. And then after that, I'm gonna move from writing erotic stuff to just writing normal stuff, poetry or whatever, for my own.
Well, general fiction. Yeah.
Yeah, so that I can try to move that into just, you know, something more serious that maybe I can actually do something with. So
sounds great.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Mm. And her last question, we'll finally move off of Pastor Sexual's wall of text, is what is your go-to sexy put-me-in-the-mood music and or your favorite band?
Well, I don't really listen to music in a sexy context.
Mm-hmm.
But if I were to listen to it, I probably would want to listen to old songs from like the 1960s, like Otis Redding.
Oh yeah.
Marvin Gaye. Not some of the faster paced stuff, but some of the slower, more romantic stuff.
The era of the crooners.
Yes.
Yeah.
But I'm not a fan of people like Frank Sinatra, you know. I'm not. But that type of music I enjoy, but also country music.
Really?
Certain artists, especially male artists, not so much the female artists.
Gotcha.
Like George Strait. And I'm not really into country, but I find some country to be sexy.
Mm.
I'm more into classic rock and 80s pop.
That's a good combination.
And now some of the music that's on the radio now, I really like. But like the 90s, I feel like is an era that just the music was good, but it was like everybody was unhappy about everything. That's the impression I get from 90s music. Is you got a lot of angsty Gen Xers who are just letting all their angst out.
Yeah, it was the grunge period.
Yeah, you know, Nirvana, just everything sucks.
Well, it was either that or really squeaky clean pop.
Yeah.
So that was Backstreet really interesting, Boys. And like Spice Girls and all that.
Yeah.
Like, it was interesting having that kind of polarity in the music.
Yeah.
Hmm.
Could talk about music all day. As far as my favorite band, I'm going to hold off on that because that one would reveal too much about me.
Okay.
If somebody heard this, they go, oh, I know who that is.
Ah, okay. Right. We shall pass on that one then. So the next few questions come from Miss Glitchy. First of all, what are your kinks and what turned you on to them? Some of this we've already answered, but we can probably talk about others that you haven't made explicit.
I don't know. Well, we mentioned Big Black Cock. We mentioned, the interracial is a big one for me. Mm-hmm. We also mentioned
Fudanari.
Fudanari. Mm-hmm. I do enjoy like cuckold stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And it's especially in porn, I enjoy that.
Right.
Usually it's like secret cuckold, like the girl is cuckolding her boyfriend and he doesn't know, mm-hmm. type of thing. I like just vanilla stuff too. I'm very much into the idea of a scenario. So, you know, if there's a scene, you know, if I'm watching porn, if it's just two people just going at it, it doesn't have as much appeal to me. But if it's like, hey, Mr. So-and-so, I need to get an A on my, for the semester. What can I do for extra credit? You know, that, oh, okay, yeah, that's good. I like that.
Yeah. Oh,
yeah.
So cheesy.
I know it is. But hey, you know. But the idea of having it doesn't even have to be a long storyline.
Mm.
But especially if you do it in a organic way. Mm. One of the things that drives me crazy about porn, especially the parody type porn, is like I think I saw the Star Wars there's a Star Wars parody that's out there.
Mm-hmm.
Which it's actually somewhat humorous. But what they do is they have these like acted bits where they are going out and they're doing the stuff in the Star Wars and making these one liners.
Mm-hmm.
And then they have this sequence of like 20 minutes where they're having sex and I'm going, this is boring.
Yeah.
You know, it's like, why can't you integrate the sex more into the you know, and they're just having sex and they're not talking and they're not, there's nothing, you know, it's just like, forget this.
Make the sex plot relevant.
Yeah, yeah. And so for me, it's all, it's more about the emotion and more about the
situation.
I guess, yeah, the situation than it is about the actual act. Although the act is part of and important too.
Mm.
I'm just rambling now. Let's move on.
Yes, next question. If you can be raped by any monster girl, what would it be and why?
No. Yeah, you know, I was thinking about this last night. I didn't actually see this question, but I was thinking, well, if somebody asked me that question, what would I say? and I don't think I completely got the answer. I will admit that from a long time ago, when I first got on the internet, I discovered the Drider, which is the half woman, half spider, which I always had, and you know, I always thought that was sort of a really sort of cool, sexy thing, because you have this spider, which is sort of creepy, you know, and it's you know, puts its threads around and catches flies and eats them, and so you have that predatory sort of that sort of predatory thing and creepy, and then you get this, you know, the top half, which is a sexy lady, which is the sexy part, and then you throw the two together and it's like, you know, it's like Black Widow, you know?
Yeah. I'm assuming then you're very familiar with the story of Ariadne.
Yes. Yeah. And when I was in high school, I saw an episode of Hercules, The Legendary Journeys.
Mm-hmm.
And there's an episode where they have that character that they come across, and they go into this cave. I think they get shipwrecked on an island or something, and they go into this cave, and there's this, and she's in there, and I just remember being struck by that.
Wow.
That stuck with me for years, to the point that once, you know, once we got YouTube and that, I was like, you know, gee, I was thinking about that, and I go and I looked for a clip, and I actually found it, and I'm like, oh, wow, yeah, I remember this, and this was, oh, boy, I'm strangely turned on.
Still has the same effect years later.
Yeah, from when I was a teenager. I would say that one definitely is the one that I'd like to meet. Second would be a Naga, you know, the half woman, half
snake. Yep.
Yeah. Yeah.
Oh, that reminds me, I still need to finish, need to do that script.
Yeah, I need to write more monster guy scripts. I have one with a Minotaur, which is somewhat humorous, that is almost done.
Mm-hmm.
It's a Minotaur that's minding his own business, and some lady comes up and just starts pestering him for sex, and he's like, that's bestiality, I don't want to do that. Having sex with a human, that's bestiality.
Ugh, you filthy whole breed.
Yeah, right.
Last question from Miss Glitchy is, if you were bi, would you fuck your talking teddy bear, or does being bi not even matter?
The whole idea of fucking a teddy bear is sort of weird to me. I mean, there are people who are into that. They're what do they call plushie files? I don't know. Where they get turned on by the plush. I think we go back to me liking the cats against my face. But I've never had any sexual interest in anything teddy bear related.
Again, it's applying a personality to something.
Yeah, and yeah. My teddy bear, I was actually really surprised by the reaction that people had to the teddy bear audios.
Yeah.
Because it's this like corny voice, you know, hey, this is the teddy bear. It's like I'm just sort of talking roughly in the back of my throat, and it sounds like, you know, it sounds like I've got a speech problem, like I've got something stuck in my throat, and they're like, oh wow, that's amazing. I'm just like, whoa, okay, that's interesting. I guess teddy bears are hot. But I understand it. It's just, you know, it's the idea of the emotion of this childhood item that now goes into the sexual. I so totally see the appeal. But I have my childhood teddy bear, and I would not want to get my sperm on him.
Oh, nope. No. Not of your own. Someone else's maybe, but not your own.
No, not anyone else's either. No. My teddy bear would probably yell at me.
Oh. He would not be a happy camper.
No, he wouldn't. He's far too serious for that. He was always serious. My teddy bear was always a serious guy. I guess he was like my conscience when I was a kid. You know, I'd talk to my teddy bear, and he'd be like, "Well, have you thought about this?"
Oh, that's really cute.
Yeah, and so that was my teddy bear. I also was one of those kids that had imaginary friends.
Oh,
So I knew my imaginary friends were imaginary, but I still indulged in it. Well, there was a time when I didn't have any friends nearby, so I made my own friends. And that's another thing about me is people ask, you know, where do you get all these crazy ideas? How do you improv? And when I was a kid, I was the ringleader. I was the one making all the pretend games. You know, we didn't have video game systems. We didn't watch a lot of TV. So it was outside playing, you know, and we played games. And I would take, I would read a lot. And so I would take things from what I read and we would play, you know. We would play Ivanhoe, or we would play Count of Monte Cristo, or we would play The Hobbit, or whatever. And it wasn't; it was always sort of a corruption of it, where we weren't doing exactly The Hobbit. We weren't, you know, we were doing our own thing, sort of in that world, or something similar to that world. And so, and then after, when I got to college and I got the internet, I started doing online role playing, where in HTML. Chat rooms, and so I would do these elaborate fantasy style role plays with people where it was more like collaborative writing, where I would write a paragraph or two and then they would write a paragraph or two, sort of reacting to my paragraph or two, and we would go back and forth, and you would create these elaborate storylines, and of course you're doing it all, you know, live off the cuff. And so when it came to doing improv, it wasn't really that much of a stretch from that. I mean, it was a lot faster. You're thinking on your feet a lot more. But it was very similar to this idea of I'm reacting, you know, to a scenario and what would my character do? So, yeah. So I think the reason I'm so good at improv is because I played a lot of pretend when I was a kid.
No, I think one of the big things that adults kind of lose is their imagination. And I would be very upset in my future if I lost my imagination. It's important to me. And it should be important to a lot of other people.
That is one thing that GWA brought back to me. Because I had a really bad breakup and it just destroyed me.
Right.
And I bounced back from it, but I wasn't really myself. And, you know, I found somebody else, and I'm deliriously happy. But I didn't have that imagination anymore. And then I found Gone Wild Audio, and I started doing this crazy stuff. And I'm like, holy crap, I still have my imagination. This is amazing. And so, you know, I guess that is probably one of the biggest takeaways from GWA is that I still have my imagination. Thank you, GWA.
It's a beautiful thing. It's a very beautiful sentiment. Okay, the next set of questions come from... Oh, they're my questions!
Uh-oh.
Okay, I have 5 questions for you. First of all, what is it about erotic audio that has drawn you in more than standard pornography?
I think it's the interactions. You know, this idea of somebody posts something sexy and I can say, hey, that was really hot, or I can put a script up and then somebody actually does my script, which, you know, being a script writer is really weird sometimes for me, because I'll write something and I'll put it up. Perfect example, The Love of Dirty Talk, which is one that I just posted not that long ago, and I think like 4 or 5 people have done it now. When I heard that done, and I can't remember the person who did it, it was an English accent person, but I can't remember their name right off the bat. When I heard them do it, it sort of sounded like they were on the BBC and they're reading this script, and I'm listening to her and I'm going, it's hard to believe sometimes that I wrote that, you know? Another one goes with is the Porn Shop Girl. When I heard that done, I think it was Gentleman Caller, which I don't know if I've seen him post anything else since then. Mm-hmm. He did such a beautiful read of that script. And I listened to him doing that, and I got tears in my eyes at the end of it. I'm going, I wrote that, but it didn't feel like I wrote it. You know, it took a life of its own. Wow. And, you know, it sounds like boasting when I say, boy, my writing is that good that it sounded that good. But a lot of it's also the performers who perform this stuff. You know,
exactly,
they
yeah.
take the script and they turn it into something more than just a bunch of words on a page. They turn it into emotion. They turn it into something that's sexy or sad or powerful. And it's just a beautiful thing. And that's probably the thing that I love most about GWA. It's this idea that we have these interactions with each other and we're creating art. I mean, you wouldn't think erotic audio would be art, but in a way we're creating art just by collaborating and working with each other. All these anonymous people who don't know each other are just in this community that just creates all these amazingly sexy things.
it's an amazing sentiment to agree to, and I agree to that as well. It's been a draw that I've been thinking about a lot recently, about why I do it and why it's been so interesting for me, and I think you've hit a lot of the same things that I've been thinking in what you in your explanation.
Okay,
next question. Do you think that the brain is the sexiest organ?
It's a good sentiment because it is, because everything, all our sexual, everything that we find sexy comes from the brain, you know, whether it's biochemistry, whether it's our genetics, or whether it's just, a learned response from, you know, input. It is. I mean, a breast is sexy, an ass is sexy, a penis is sexy, whatever, but it's only truly sexy to the person who views it and views it from in the prism of their life experience. So the brain is the root of everything.
Yeah. Yeah. You can't really do anything else without it.
Yep.
Okay. Question 3, would you rather bathe in melted chocolate or bathe in wine?
Can I choose neither?
Really?
Oh gosh. Okay. So I read this question. I actually did read your questions last night. I read this question and I'm going, okay, I can just see it. So I bathe in red wine and I come out looking like a boiled lobster or just Mr. Purple. Or I go into chocolate and I get out and I'm like all sticky and grossed out and totally not sexy. So I'm just like, forget it. I don't want either of them.
Oh, spoil sport.
Oh, sticky. Like, that's my pet peeve, sticky.
Oh, being sticky?
Yuck. It's just like, you know how people, you know, like the fingernails and chalkboard, that type of thing? That's the sensation I get with it. Like, I get, like, sugar sticky on my hands. I have to go wash them.
Oh, interesting.
Yeah, it's almost an obsessive compulsive thing where I'm sticky, and the worst is walking across a sticky floor where your shoes are going. And even worse than the shoes is if you're barefoot and it happens your feet are sticking to the floor and you're like, So no chocolate, no thank you, no thank you, no thank you.
So we'll just default to wine. Okay.
Yeah. White wine. Yeah, I don't white wine. Look like Mr. Purple.
Yeah, let's not do red wine. I would have said champagne, but like that seems too expensive. Next one. What is your biggest moral value?
Moral value?
Yeah. What do you pride the most in your life as your biggest moral value? Like one you stand by steadfastly through anything and everything.
Integrity. That's about integrity, yeah. And integrity goes to honesty, forthrightness, all of those things. That's probably the thing. And so when I say integrity, I mean it encompasses a lot of things.
Right.
Following conscience, work ethic, you know. So there's a lot of things that are involved in that. Doing the things that you're supposed to do in your role in life. So if you go, if you attack my integrity, that's probably the lowest blow you can make.
Okay, I see. And this last question from me, and this one's a very, very serious one, so let me get into the mood for it.
Okay.
Do you want me?
Do I want you? Do you want me to want you, Rams?
Maybe.
Do you want me to talk like that? Because if I do, I don't know if we can finish this questionnaire.
Next questions.
You don't want to get me into the sexy talk.
No, not at this point. No, I had to think of another gag question, and that's the that one I have to actually give credit to. I think it was Electrically Charged gave me that question. I just couldn't think of another funny question, so she gave me that one. I was like, okay, fuck it, I'll just write it down.
All right.
Okay, next questions come from Vampire Mistress. First one is, why did you join DWA, and what was your motivation to do so?
I joined DWA because I have always been a fan of erotic audio. I found, I don't know, I think I found Literotica, gosh, more than a decade ago.
Wow.
And that's why I'm actually familiar with Raven Fox Audio, is because I listened to her way back when she was first doing recordings on Literotica. I was never part of the community. I was always just somebody who lurked. But I listened to a lot of people. Angel of Temptation is another one who came over from there that I was familiar with. And I, there might be one or two other people that were over there that I know. But those two especially. So I loved the erotic audio. I just, you know, it really... It really got me off. In fact, I way back, I had an early MP3 player that I would that I would put stuff on, and then you know go to bed and listen to. Yeah, that I mean, that was a long time ago. I had a it was a very early MP3 player, and it didn't store very much.
But it served its purpose nonetheless.
It did serve its purpose. So I it was before the iPod, I think.
Oh. Yeah.
Yeah.
10 years ago, it seems likely, yeah.
Yeah. So I I followed Literotica, and I would occasionally look around for other sites, and I never found anything until about last year. I looked for erotic audio again, thinking, oh, you know, Literotica, they had good stuff, but they, you know, everything was moderated.
Yeah.
So you would just, you know, so you would only get like, you know, 5 or 6 audios a week. And I just, you know, I'm like, well, there's got to be some other sites that, of people who like to do this stuff. So I'm looking around and I go to Reddit. And I have never really been on Reddit before. I mean, I'd heard of Reddit, but, you know, I had no reason to go on Reddit. I think I sort of viewed Reddit in the sort of same context as 4chan. Like, oh, it's one of those places type of thing. And so I went on to Reddit and I saw Gone Wild Audio, and I'm, you know, going through page after page after page of guys and ladies who have done all these recordings, and I'm like, holy crap, this is amazing. So I listened to a few, and then I decided, you know what, I'm going to join. So I signed up for a Reddit account, and I posted my verification the same day. And then I think even the same day I did my first recording, which was the business call encounter, which I've had a number of people, because I you know, I chat with some folks on Skype, and they said, because I posted a list. If you haven't seen it, you should go listen to it. I posted a list yesterday that was a recording of me basically narrating everything that I've done on GWA. It's sort of humorous.
Huge list.
Yeah, it's a huge list. I deleted the list and I left the audio. So if you want to know the list, you're going to have to listen to the audio. But the very first one is the business call encounter. And I've had people tell me, gee, I listened to that and it sounded as good as the stuff that you do now.
Wow.
And I'm like, that is pretty, I mean, that's a pretty high praise. And thank you for that, for the people who've said that. I think it was a natural for me. And I got the responses, and that was it. I was hooked. And I think I wrote my first script within maybe 2 weeks of joining GWA.
Excellent. So, okay, her next question, her last question also. What is your opinion on vampires and vampire porn, be it on GWA or somewhere else?
Okay, from my experience, most of the vampire porn on the internet is awful.
Oh, yeah.
It's just terrible. Mm-hmm. I mean, you have so much sexy material to go from. I mean, vampires are so sexy. They're sexual, you know, sort of these sexual beings. And we've got this, like, C-rated, C-rate porn that's done in some guy's basement. And it's like, why haven't any of the mainstream porn guys done anything with vampires? Because I can guarantee you it would get a lot of views. But whatever. I do love vampires. I think vampires are very sexy. I would say they're not one of the ones that are up on top for me. That I'm really interested in. I won't go out of my way to listen to them, to recordings about vampires or anything like that. But
the top is totally mummies, though, isn't it?
No, mummies. not really. Monster girls. That's what I like.
Yep.
I did one vampire recording. Not recording. Yeah, it was a recording, and I later turned it into a script. Hmm. And I can't remember the title of it, but it involves a person leaving voicemail messages to their significant other as they're trying to walk home from work.
Oh, yeah, I did read that one.
Yep, and I just love the seduction of it. This idea of a normal person, they're initially creeped out by the person, but they get seduced and then even get turned by the end of the recording. And that, to me, is just really... It's just really sort of sexy, that whole sort of quasi-mind control aspect and the seduction and being overwhelmed by the personality of this predatory creature. So there you go. I think I answered the question.
Yes, I think you did, considering it was asked by Vampire Mistress. Okay, next questions come from Alethea Ray, who we have mentioned earlier. She has three questions for you. What inspired you to come up with the Fear Play King?
I think I had done all my recordings, you know, the gunplay recordings, and I thought, you know, what would be so much fun is to pull a switcheroo on people. All these people who love these gunplay and think, oh my goodness, his Fear Play is so scary and sexy and scary. I'm gonna just pull a total fast one on them. So I did the scary, you know, like, I'm going to rape you type of thing. And then have this crazy character come out of nowhere and just be like correcting the guy and telling that he's doing everything wrong. I think that's where the Fear Play King came from, is that idea of I want to pull a fast one on the audience and turn their expectations upside down. The voice, the character came from, I think, I really was thinking, you know, how can I be just so over the top? And I thought, an English accent, that's how you be over the top. But my English accent, I can do an okay English accent, but then I thought, it's not good enough if it's just an English accent. It has to be this flamboyant sort of, you know, a theatrical type of character, otherwise it won't be funny. And so that's where the Fear Play King came from, this sort of theatrically, you know, vigilante type of character. And I can imagine somebody who really is a rapist, you know, some guy in a paper crown comes in with a knife and is like, I'm just totally weirded out by this. I'm getting out of here.
Oh, 'tis amusing to think about. The next one, it's not really a question, but she makes a comment about it. Insert question about the continued adventures of Brian and Molly.
Ah, yeah. She, we did a pair of collaborations early on when I was at when I came to GWA, and they were about, I think I mentioned them earlier, Brian and Molly were the two characters on the spaceship that were salvagers, and the first one was the plant rape, and the second one involved sex bots, and I promised her that I was going to write a third script to sort of wrap wrap the series up, mm-hmm. and that was probably about 8 months ago.
Yeah.
And the script has sat in on my hard drive for about 8 months unfinished, although I do have it, I have worked on the script in the past couple weeks, so there is a possibility that it will be finished and recorded in sometime in the future. So
keep your hopes alive, Allie.
Yeah.
And her last question is, if you could have your way with any superhero, who would you pick and how?
Okay, I'm not really a superhero. I mean, she's sort of an anti-hero, but Mystique of the X-Men, or, ooh. Well, once of the X-Men, now not of the X-Men. I don't know where she is now because I don't follow it. But shapeshifters, come on!
Yeah. How could you not have fun with that?
Can you imagine the role playing that you could do with a shapeshifter? Holy crap.
I can be whatever you want me to be.
I'd be great. Like, no, don't be what I want you to be. Be whatever you want to be, and then surprise me.
Oh god, that's a good idea.
Yeah.
Okay, that's all.
I did a recording with a shapeshifter. It involved a guy who had a girlfriend who told him that she was a shapeshifter. He didn't believe her, and he said, "Tell you what, if you can grow a cock, I'll suck it," you know, jokingly. And then she did, and then he sucked it.
Whoops. Okay, the next set of questions come from Lottie Squeaks. She has 8 questions herself. First of all, as usual, I do the hug thing because hugs are my jam. Hope your cake day has been awesome and prolific as the year you've put in here has been.
Okay.
Thank you, Lottie. Now the questions. What advice would you have for people who are shit at improv or for getting into it and improving their skills?
Don't approach it as an aspect of sexy audio. Approach it from, I'm playing pretend. You know, have it as a game, you know? Like, imagine yourself as a kid. Well, maybe not exactly as a kid, but you get my idea. Mm-hmm. And I'm playing with my friends, and your friend says, I'm Robin Hood. And you say, I'm Maid Marian. And now, okay, what does Maid Marian do, you know? So you don't think of it in terms of mechanical. Just think of it as a game, mm-hmm. you know? That you're playing a game, and that's how I approach it. You know, I'm not approaching it from okay, I have to think about how am I going to end this, how am I going to how am I going to bring this part in, how am I going to do that. I'm like, no, I'm just going to go for it and see where it goes. Mm. You know, and sometimes I'll think a little bit ahead of time, saying, well, I think it would be sort of fun to end it this way, and I want to make sure to have, you know, I want to make sure to have a little bit of this in there and a little dirty talk. But once I do that, I just go for it. Have no fear, you know? Mm. And if it doesn't work out, you can always delete it. But, you know, just go for it. Don't think about the mechanics so much. Just do it. Just sit down in front of the microphone, have an idea, and just see where your mouth takes you.
Yeah. No, that is good advice. It's some that I've taken up on myself recently as well. Because, like, the last few things I've done have all been pretty much improvised. I thought I would start out with just being scripted from the get-go, and I did that to begin with, but then...
Yeah.
I kind of just let the ebb and flow happen much more naturally. And both of my collabs, although the premise was set up, they were all completely improvised otherwise.
Yeah, and the other thing is, if you start out with things that you're familiar with. So, for example, if you work in customer service, do something customer service related. Mm. Or if you do a lot of phone calls and you have good phone etiquette, then do something where you're on the phone.
I just thought of one. How about being like a waiter or a waitress?
Ooh, yeah,
that'd be a good
one. So you're taking something that you already know, and you're turning it into something sexy. But it makes it easier for you because you're not creating things out of whole cloth as much because you're already familiar with it. They do this. They suggest this for writers. They say, you know, write what you know. Mm. So if you're really knowledgeable about one thing, write about that thing, and you can branch out from there. But it gives you some place to begin, you know.
Yeah.
So that would be my advice for somebody who wants to try to do improv. Start with what you know. Don't think about the mechanics so much, and just go for it.
Excellent. Okay, next question. What has surprised you the most about being a part of GWA?
Well, I think I already covered that.
Yeah, we did. Yeah. Most of it. Yeah.
Yeah. So I just, I would say initially it was just how warm and welcoming everybody is and how supportive everybody is. GWA is a weird community because there are very, very, very few trolls. I mean, aside from the downvote trolls.
And the bots.
Well, you know, the bots who downvote. That is the only real trolling that we have on GWA, aside from people getting PMs. That's another form of trolling. Yeah. And I haven't really experienced that, thankfully. Unfortunately, most of that happens to the ladies. And I'm sorry, ladies. Yeah. Not all of us guys are assholes.
We try not to be.
Yeah.
Yeah. Now, I do remember that happening to one particular user, and I will give her a mention here. Moonstar Ghost, I am so sorry for what happened to you. You didn't deserve any of it.
She just, and unfortunately, if you're gonna put yourself out there, you have to have a thick skin. I mean, you got to be smart about it, but you have to have a thick skin because, and as a lady especially, guys, you know, I haven't had a lot of negative feedback, but the ladies, they're gonna get that. And you just have to be aware that it's going to happen, and you just have to be willing to try to ignore it. I mean, that's the only thing you can do, because you aren't going to change those people. Those people are going to come out no matter what you do. Yeah. And if you don't think that you can handle it, then, unfortunately, you know, then
maybe
don't be
it's
part
for you.
Yeah, don't be part of the community. And it's sad to say that, because I don't want anyone to feel like they're unwelcome. And we'll support you, but if you can't handle that, and it's just a sad reality of the anonymous community that we have, is you just can't control those people. They're going to do it no matter what we try to do, no matter how many meta posts we put up that say, please don't do this. It's just going to happen. So
there are always going to be shit stirrers.
Yeah, exactly. There's always going to be a troll. There's always going to be somebody who's going to get a kick. I think of Senna. Senna Says Hi put a Wallflower post not that long ago talking about a guy that she spoke to who had driven away dozens of women by trolling them and pretending to be their friend. And it would be so easy to do that. And it breaks my heart that there are people who are so evil to want to get their jollies from doing that. So you got to be careful. And if you can't, you know, if it's something that you just don't think you can handle, then don't put yourself in that position. And sad to say.
Yeah.
And don't be afraid to ask for help if you do get into a position where you're not, where you feel like you're over your head, or people are not treating you right. You know, that's what the mod team is there for.
I was going to
use those resources.
Yeah, I was going to mention that. Like, you have the rest of the community who is more than willing to listen and more than willing to help you.
Yeah.
We are here for you. If you feel like you're being overwhelmed, step back and talk to someone. There is going to be someone out there who will listen and who will help you.
And be safe, you know, just be careful. Be careful about the information you put out there. You know, make sure that you're isolating yourself from your name and your too much personal information so that somebody can't track you down. I mean, I'll be honest, I don't think any lady should put pictures of themselves on the internet. it's just too easy to, you know.
Yeah.
There have been cases where people have tracked people down just by what was in the background of their photos, which is just frightening.
It is. It really is.
And, you know, and that's the sad truth, is in a world of 7 billion people, there are going to be a segment that are going to be psychopaths.
And
sociopaths,
and
just nasty people,
And
it's so we just got to be careful. And if you don't think you're have the personality to deal with it, just step back, and we won't hold it against you. We understand, we really truly do.
Okay, the next question from Lottie: if you could tell yourself 1 year ago when you just joined GWA one thing about the experiences you've had, what would it be?
You're gonna come a lot. I would say you're gonna do this because you're going to find your creativity again.
No, that's good. I'm glad we talked about that earlier. Okay, next one. Oh, something very lighthearted. If you could suck your own dick, would you?
Who says I can't?
And we'll move to the next question. Would you rather...
I did once. I did once in high school. I don't think I'm that flexible anymore. Oh. And let's just say the experience... I barely could do it. And the experience was odd. And then I decided, my back hurts. I'm not doing that again.
Yeah. You've got to really want to do it to do it.
And I didn't really see the appeal of it. It was just like, okay, that was sort of interesting and not hot at all.
Gotcha. Okay, next one. Would you rather go a month without an orgasm or a year without bacon?
I'd rather go a month without an orgasm. I've done that before.
You just need enough willpower.
Yeah, but bacon... I mean, how can you said bacon a year without an orgasm or a year without bacon, I would have said, okay, I'll go without the bacon. But a month, I can do a month.
Yeah. Because bacon did nothing wrong to you.
Well, because bacon is awesome.
Yeah.
You know what would be even better than just bacon?
What?
Deep fried bacon.
Oh. Brother, you are speaking my language.
And then covered in bacon.
More bacon. Bacon strips. Bacon strips.
Oh, chocolate covered bacon that's deep fried.
Ooh, wow. Okay. Oh, careful, mate. Careful.
Now we're all going to die of heart attacks, but at least we'll enjoy our bacon.
No, the best way I've enjoyed my bacon is on pancakes with maple syrup.
Oh, yes. Yes, yes, yes. Definitely. So with a side of eggs. Yes. Oh. Okay, enough about breakfast. I have not eaten yet.
Oh, but this next question's about food as well.
Oh, dear.
Preferred flavor of cake, icing, and ice cream?
There is a Betty Crocker cake called Starlight Cake, which is a yellow cake, I think, which is my favorite. I've liked it since I was a kid. Chocolate frosting, but it's like a dark chocolate frosting.
Ah, okay.
And what was the last one?
Ice cream.
Oh, well, vanilla, of course.
Excellent. Okay, quick, invent a fortune cookie fortune right now. Don't forget to add the in bed to the end of it. I'll do one. Count your successes to avoid your failures in bed.
All right. No, I can't think of anything.
Ooh, looks like you stumped him, Lottie. We'll just go with mine and keep going, I suppose. Well, you can come back to it.
Oh, okay. Don't underestimate the power of surprise in bed.
Very good. All right, and her final question. Who would you screw for a Klondike bar?
I don't know. I don't really have a interest in Klondike bars. I don't think I've had one since I was a kid. So it isn't like it's like, oh, I must have one of those. So no one. I'll screw my hand. Does that count?
Oh, yeah, your hand needs attention too.